Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
I'm by far the most athletic one at the station. I mean, everybody knows that. That's pretty much why I work at the radio station. I'm an athlete. Okay, absolutely not. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. By the way, that promo was from about 2 weeks ago in the sense that that's when I ran. I haven't ran since then. Just a heads up. I've walked, but I haven't ran since then. Quick rundown of the show tonight. Okay? Jeff Passan on Major League Baseball focused on the plan to start the season in early May. He had a great interview with George Sedano, and then I also want to give my thoughts on what that game plan is, but we'll play some of that. The latest on the NBA, Adam Silver speaks out yesterday about the league, so we'll get a chance to discuss that. Good interviews with Baxter Holmes coming up, David Waldstein from the New York Times, so we got to listen to some great stuff. Oh, and oh, by the way, we're going to do this not just this week, but next week as well. We're going to continue to highlight these senior high school athletes. Justin Wood from El Medina High School. We'll get a chance to talk to him a little bit later as well. So let's start off the show with this. Baseball focused on plan to start season as early as May. This has been, I think, most of the conversation that's dominated sports talk radio shows. It's definitely dominated a lot of SportsCenter, ESPN, and everything else. And it's a fair reason why it would dominate conversation. It should. We are looking for some optimism. We are looking for, and I'm talking about from a sports perspective. I'll always set this up as best as I can. It's by far most important that, you know, the country and the world gets some kind of a handle on COVID-19, and hopefully that's coming. But in the meantime, we're playing out all these different scenarios from a baseball or from a sports perspective. So Passan sent out, had an article yesterday and was doing a lot of work, obviously, these last couple or at least these last 24 hours on it. The thought process is this. All 30 teams play games at stadiums with no fans in that Phoenix area. That's where they do spring training. They have, I think Mason was saying 10 spring training parks that they could use, plus Chase Field. So when we talked about the different scenarios for the NBA, this is kind of similar. NBA, we're talking about Vegas, and that's the summer league, so you usually have all 30 teams that are there. I think this last summer was the first time all 30 teams were there. They cut out Orlando and Utah and some of these other places. So the idea is 4.5 months of separation from family, really kind of isolating baseball. Players and coaching staff stay at local hotels, live in a relative isolation. And I'll preface everything by saying Jeff Passan has said it a couple different times that, you know, these are just ideas, that nothing is in stone or anything like that. MLB came out with a statement afterwards saying, "We have not settled on that option or developed a detailed plan. While we have discussed the idea of staging games at one location as one potential option, we have not settled on that option or developed a detailed plan on that front. While we continue to interact regularly with governmental and public health officials, we have not sought or received approval of any plan from federal, state, and local officials or the Players Association." My quick thoughts on this. Love that they're throwing ideas. I love that those ideas are coming out to us and they're coming out to fans. Like Mason was saying, can we get some positive news? Can we see maybe some potential, some light at the end of the tunnel? That part, I don't question that at all. And I enjoy, you know, it's also, I enjoy reading articles like this or listening to the chatter and the conversation that comes from it, because now we start playing things in our mind. Wait a minute. Maybe there is a chance here. Maybe there is a scenario to do this. The one thing that I will say, and I think this is the theme from everybody, it's all going to come down to testing. How quick can you get tests? How quick can they become available? And I think, you know, a bigger question that it's a good reason why I'm going to bring Baxter on coming up at 7 o'clock, because I think that's going to be the big dilemma for the NBA. It's all going to come down to the testing. And it's not just coming down to the testing. It also has to do with, is everybody have that availability for testing? Because I do think that these sports leagues also have to keep in mind, you can't be grabbing tests that need to go to somebody else, that need to go to hospitals, that need to go to medical officials. There's a priority, right? And it cannot be, which, by the way, the league has already got some scrutiny when it came to that. And I'm referring to the NBA when they were getting tests. I would see it on the major news networks. Wait a minute. Why are NBA players getting tested and when those tests should be going somewhere else? So I think there's an incredible, incredible amount of questions that still have to come with any plan. But I also think it's great to have a plan out there. I also think it's great to be throwing ideas out there. So when Passan kind of presents what MLB is looking at and working with health officials and so forth to try and figure out if it's viable or if it's not, this is the thing. These are some of the things that you're going to have to, you know, obviously keep in mind. I know that they do have part of the idea that they have is and this one I'm not crazy with when they talk about, well, the athletes are healthy. You know, the athletes are all good to go. We don't have to worry about them. These athletes are in tip top shape. They're not, they most likely don't have respiratory issues. They most likely are in fantastic shape. So they're healthy. They shouldn't worry about COVID-19. First of all, that's not the case, because I think we've seen young people also get COVID-19 and are in, you know, in an incredible fight, number one. Number two, what about the managers? What about the trainers? What about the umpires for baseball, the referees for the NBA? It's more than just the players, right? I mean, the coaching staff, they're all going to be older. These are former players or whatever the case is. The assistants. So it goes much further than just the players. But what this all comes down to is the money side of things. And what I'm referring to on that is how much money can these leagues save? And I think that's a big reason why you have these ideas being thrown out. And that's a big reason why Mason and Ireland are also saying, who cares? Throw out all the way, all the ideas that have been done before. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. This is the first time we've faced this. It's much more important now to come up with a way so you have some kind of a season. Jeff Passan, MLB Insider, was on with George Sedano. When we come back, I'll play a little bit of that interview because I think he has some great points in there that offers a little bit more clarity as well. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Funches, Jess, how we doing out there? You guys good?
Fantastic.
Okay,
Funches. Better days.
You
it's the weather. It's this rain. I know it is. That's what it is.
I take it, Funch. There's a lot going back in the studio. I don't think listeners realize that, you know, when Curtis is on the board or Funch is on the board, there are so many moving parts right now because everybody is out of the office. Is that fair to say?
Literally, Funches? Everyone's out of the office. So, like, you know, guys like me and Curtis and, you know, Laura, George in the morning, like we're doing jobs of five other people while we're doing our jobs too.
Jeez. Okay. All right. We'll keep that in mind. I won't make it.
Funch holding it down. Funch and all the board ops holding it down.
Yes, definitely is. Okay. So I mentioned this, Jeff Passan. So we're just talking about kind of the strategy for Major League Baseball. They're focused on a plan to start the season as early as May. And listen, I'm sure there's Dodger fans, Angel fans all across Southern California. They're excited. I mean, why wouldn't you be if you feel like, hey, there's actually potentially a plan out there? ESPN MLB Insider Jeff Passan was on the Sedano Show. He doesn't want to give false hope, but he does think that there could be some opportunity. Here's Passan from this morning.
I just hope this thing doesn't fall apart quickly, because it could. Like, there is absolutely the possibility. And I hope I represented that in the story, that this is what they're looking at right now, but there are hurdles, some of which may well be insurmountable. And if they are, we are going to be in a holding pattern with baseball for quite a while now, that may end up being indefinite and may end up with us not seeing a game until the 2021 season.
I don't want to be pessimistic, okay? But this probably may take a little bit of a pessimistic approach. When I was reading the article and I got a chance to listen to the interview, first thing that went to my mind was, I feel like it's too early. You know, it's too early to lay out this kind of plan. The reason why I'm saying that is just kind of see the way things have broke down over the last 4 weeks, right? Just think of all the different scenarios that have played out. NBA is the perfect example, because Major League Baseball, you haven't played one regular season game yet. Dodgers were supposed to start the season, Clayton Kershaw on the mound, first chance to see Mookie Betts. That was going to be on March 26th, I think. It was a Thursday. And that was going to be the first Dodgers game to get a chance, probably their best chance at a World Series. Well, the NBA, Lakers are 63 games in. You know what I mean? So the NBA is just, they're in a tougher position than anybody. One thing that's good that they already got 63 games in, but the tough part is there's a very, you know, strong chance or a 50-50 chance, we have no idea, that there is no telling of whether the NBA will get a chance to crown an NBA champion this year, which of course sucks for the Lakers because we felt like, damn, we are in an outstanding position at a shot at number 17 this year. And I use that as an example because yesterday Adam Silver was on with TNT's Ernie Johnson. They were doing something on NBA's Twitter and a number of different, you know, conversations, a number of different questions that were being proposed. And one thing that just kind of stood out with me is how Adam Silver just kept saying that we can't make any decisions right now. We can't look past May 1st, and the NBA right now just kind of decided they're going to wait till May 1st. But I use the NBA as the example. If the NBA has been in this spot, this position for the last 4 weeks, and they're trying to do everything they can to crown a champ, I feel like this baseball idea that's out there, it sounds great. I want it to happen more than anybody else, but it sounds too premature. We don't know what's going to happen in this country tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks. We don't know what's going to happen in 30 days. That doesn't mean lay out plans that could potentially be there. And I think Jeff Passan, I think he also went out of his way to make sure, like, he doesn't want to give some false hope. But he also gives some reasons. Again, he was on with the Sedano show with George Sedano earlier today, reasons why this plan could potentially work.
There have been health officials who have embraced this plan and who think that it can serve a couple of different purposes. Number one, you bring Major League Baseball back, and all of a sudden it looks like the country's at least a little bit on its way back to normalcy. And number two, you bring baseball back and it's on TV every night, and some of the stuff that you see during the game can reinforce the idea of social distancing. If you have players, for example, sitting 6 feet away from each other, or if you have no mound visits, or if you have an electronic strike zone because you don't want the umpire being too close to the catcher and batter. I mean, it's things like that that sound kind of ludicrous and may be kind of ludicrous, but ultimately what we have to remember here is that if there is no season this year, owners lose billions of dollars and players lose billions of dollars. And that is the thing right there that can bring them onto the same page, that neither wants to lose money.
That's going to be the driving force, right? And I've spent some time, and I brought on a couple people from a business perspective to talk about this. I find that part of it fascinating because it is fascinating. But here's the reality. Of course they don't. You know, they don't want to lose those billions of dollars. They don't want to lose those millions of dollars. And I'm talking about a player that makes X amount of dollars per year versus an owner that makes billions of dollars. Of course, that's always the driving force. But really what it comes down to, all this comes down to, it's going to come down to the testing. It's going to come down to if you have the ability to test your players, to test the coaches or the managers in baseball, to test the umpires or the referees, to test the testing is going to be everything. And it has to be available to everyone. That testing cannot be available to just the players. It can't just be available to just NBA teams or Major League Baseball organizations, because they will get a lot of heat if that's the case. It has to be available to everyone. So we're going to see how that plays out. But I thought that interview was great, and I thought that insight from Jeff Passan was, you know, obviously fantastic on the Sedano show. Here's, I think, a perfect transition. So Baxter Holmes, who has done just an amazing job writing all these different stories in regards to the NBA specifically, he had an article yesterday, NBA Players Union Assessing Potential COVID-19 Rapid Test Options. And I think this is going to kind of transition to what I'm referring to. It all comes down to testing. Baxter Holmes coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, attention Southern California business owners. During the COVID-19 pandemic, businesses are being decimated in an unprecedented way. Many businesses have insurance to cover for this, but insurance companies are wrongfully denying their business interruption claims. I want to read this again, and obviously I'm representing Brad Wallace and the Wallace firm, and over the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, Brad has done as good of a job to possibly explain to me that there are businesses out there, local businesses, that are obviously affected by COVID-19 and really being told to, you know, obviously close down for now, and hopefully this all ends at some point in the near future. Brad Wallace, the attorneys at the Wallace firm, are stepping up to fight for the businesses in our community. I'm going to give you a phone number, 844-844-WINS, 844-844-WINS. If you're a local, you're a small business out there, or a business owner out there, and you're looking for a free consultation and review of your business insurance policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for operating expenses and or lost revenue, please call Brad Wallace and the Wallace firm and see if they can help you. Phone number 844-844-WINS. Absolutely free consultation. They'll review your business insurance policy, and hopefully that's something that can benefit you. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Baxter Holmes, ESPN senior writer, hopping on the show. Good article on ESPN.com right now. NBA Players Union assessing potential COVID-19 rapid test options. Baxter, thank you for taking some time hopping on. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm home. Trying to stay positive and productive and healthy and, you know, adjusting to everything as we all are.
But before I get into the article, how difficult, I guess I'm trying to map this out. When you do some of your articles and you're doing the research that you're doing and reaching out to people, just how much more difficult is that part of things on the work side, just strictly because you're not getting really that much face-to-face time with people?
Yeah, I always kind of choose, or if I have a preference, it's always to talk to people face-to-face. I do a lot of work over the phone, and I do work from home a lot, working on various kind of in-depth stories and whatnot. So that part hasn't changed, but I will tell you, one of the things that's kind of interesting is, I know now that I can often reach people at home because that tends to be where they are. So when the NBA schedule is going on, people are flying all over the place. You're kind of having to adjust to their schedule, being in this city, you know, for a game on this night or heading this way or that way. At this point, I know pretty much everybody is home. So it does help a little bit with getting people on the line.
So I want to get into your story real quick. So what? I guess from a hope perspective, what's the hope on the ability to do testing, these rapid testing options that could be available, you know, down the road? For those who haven't got a chance to read the article, explain how a lot of potentially playing basketball down the road is going to be predicated on the testing and the speed of the testing.
Sure. So the very first thing that needs to happen is the testing. You have to understand to be able to create a safe environment, they have to be able to track the virus and understand, you know, which people have it and in what phase and whatnot, in order to try to create, you know, whether it's like a bubble type thing or whatever you want to call it, but just to create a safe environment. So that's the key step. And science and medicine are advancing with, you know, collaboration across borders at a really rapid rate. So we could be in a different place a week from now or 2 weeks from now or, you know, whatever the case. So that's where you get hope. The logistics of how basketball would work, you know, at some point, you know, down the road, if they're going to try to salvage elements of this regular season or, you know, even being concerned about a potential second wave during the pandemic into the fall affecting next season, you know, all of that remains to be seen. But the very first, the most critical step right now is testing. And I will say this, too. The NBA is very aware that the testing issues persist, you know, around the country, even around the world right now in a lot of cases, and no one's trying to jump the line. But, you know, they are certainly looking at things. They're doing their due diligence in collaboration with the players' union because they want to be up to speed on everything and potentially to try to create a solution. They have to know who has it and potentially to try to get results at a quick and effective and accurate pace in order to try to get basketball going again.
So it's Abbott Laboratories, that's the one that's been approved by the FDA, could deliver results between 5 and 13 minutes or something along those lines. Is that kind of the game changer? Which, by the way, it's not just for the NBA, of course, and I'm sure just testing in general across the country to hopefully get out of this this predicament that we're all in right now. Everybody bunkering down at home, the hospitals, a ton of different patients there, whether they've been tested or they haven't been tested. But is this Abbott Laboratories, is that kind of the is that the game changer, I guess you could say?
That's one that gives people hope. I've heard of some other ones. I don't know exactly everything that the players union and the NBA are looking at together. I don't know what is publicly available or what might be proprietary. There's hope. Now, the cautionary story with all of this, and it's mentioned in the piece, you know, people are concerned, what about if someone gets a false negative? You know, where they have a very low kind of viral load, they're asymptomatic and it doesn't register on the test. And they're in an environment with other people, very close proximity, everybody's touching the same ball, and there's the potential for the virus to spread again. So, you know, it's a very fragile situation with respect to basketball. But, and this was a thing that in talking to different health people around the league and front office executives, they were just, a lot of people had hope that because of the rapid pace of medicine and science kind of advancing and the collective urgency of those various communities, that there could be something sooner than later that would be the very, you know, that would help try to facilitate potentially creating a safe environment.
Vax, can you define, so a false negative, can you just kind of go into the details of what that means?
I would love to have a medical person try to explain this more, but I guess that just means it doesn't, you know, you just get an incorrect result. Like maybe you're actually, you're not clear and it says you're clear or something like that. But that's, you know, this was the thing that was mentioned by a handful of people around the league. They're just like, you know, different people can have this. They can be carrying it at a very low level. And it's just not showing, they don't recognize it, they're asymptomatic or whatnot. Can we be sure that this is all going to show up on a test? Are the tests going to be that accurate? Are they going to be that thorough, that diligent, that even somebody who just picked this up and has only had it for, you know, a very short time span, will it show up on that test? And that's the concern for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's crazy. And I think the NBA is sitting in a similar boat, but so many questions. You know what I mean? So, like, you can plan out as best as you can, and you could play out all these different scenarios, but it sounds like this is just taking it from, and again, we're talking about it from an NBA perspective. We're both in the sports industry. We both focus primarily on NBA, but on the side of that, it's like you just kind of look away and just pay attention to just what's happening in other countries, what's happening in this country. I think there are so many unanswered questions, and I feel like every single day, I thought yesterday Adam Silver said something to the effect of this with Ernie Johnson, the commissioner of the NBA. He was kind of astounded to think that it's been almost a month since the NBA paused the season and just kind of, okay, let's kick the can down the road. But I don't think anything's happened in the last 30 days where you feel like, okay, now we have a concrete plan. And, you know, frankly, and Baxter, you can give me your thoughts on this. Doesn't sound like, you know, anybody has the ability to really plan that far ahead because we have no idea what tomorrow holds.
Yeah. It's a great point. I mean, you know, this has been a key theme in talking to people around the league. People have just said, like, if people are trying to give you definitive answers, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, we're all trying to adjust to this new normal. You know, people are first and foremost wanting to take care of themselves and their family and their loved ones and make sure that's taken care of. And, you know, the NBA is very aware of its kind of place in the world right now. You know, there are healthcare workers and medical and emergency first responders and all kinds of people on the front lines who are battling this. There's obviously tons of people that are at far higher risk than your average NBA player who's in, you know, tip-top shape and genetically gifted and all that stuff. So, it's hard to plan ahead, and you know there's so many hypotheticals and logistical things to potentially to work out. And every day that passes, you know, we move a little bit closer towards next season. And it's like, oh, you know, at what point do you kind of cut bait and run, and just say we're not going to be able at this point in time to try to create a safe environment in the current landscape to facilitate some kind of game. So sad as it may be, we got to move on to and just try to make sure we're healthy, ready, and ready to go for next season. So yeah, there's so many questions right now, so few answers.
Baxter, what is your optimism that they find a way to complete the 2020 season? They find a way to crown the champ in 2020.
Ooh, I mean, it's tough because, again, you know, there could be some scientific or medical breakthrough in a week, and you know, we're at a completely different place than we are today. There could be one in a couple days. Who knows? I will say right now, in my conversations with different people over the league, and these are recent ones, but again, things could change. As people have kind of mapped out what the logistics look like of trying to get basketball up and running again, and then also, you know, the NBA being aware of kind of where the curve is and where its place is and not wanting to jump the line, it's going to be really hard over the next, you know, I think Trump has his, what, the stay-at-home orders through like April 30th, and so nothing will happen until well after that, and you try to get guys up and running. So when you look at all the logistics and it's mapped out, like where are we going to have this, and, you know, what's the system look like, essential staff, it seems really, really difficult. And so I would say I'm not optimistic as of today. But there could be something in a week or two that changes things. And I will say this, too. I do think that as people start to miss paychecks and the financial crunch becomes more kind of severe as the losses pile up, I do think there'll be a greater sense of urgency to try to get basketball back in some form. Does that mean that it will ultimately happen or that they can pull it off? I don't know. But, you know, when you hurt people's wallets, they tend to take things more seriously, even if they're maybe not the highest at-risk population.
Baxter Holmes hopping on the Sliwa Show. Baxter, I'll stay with that. You feel like that pressure right now is growing from a financial basis for the NBA and the players? I mean, does it seem like, and I know at the end of the day this is all a business, but do you feel like that's definitely a big, big part of this, of figuring out every scenario, because they're, you know, obviously losing so much revenue every day that goes away and every game that's not played?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a factor, and people would be ignorant to you know, pretend like it's not. I mean, look, obviously everyone wants to be healthy. Different people are dealing with different situations close to home. That's all very real, and the health and well-being comes first and foremost. But the financial aspect of it is real, and as these things pile up, you know, and different teams are taking different measures, whether it's, you know, laying off employees or kind of asking people to take salary cuts or, you know, making tough internal decisions. And not every team is in the same position. They don't have the same, you know, maybe runway of wealth, so to speak, to rely on or lean back on. So I do think that, you know, and some of the people around the league kind of put this to me, that once as the financial hurt deepens, you know, that the sense of urgency will kind of pick up. Now, does that mean that they're going to suddenly have all the answers and be able to pull it off, even if it's like a truncated return and let's say it's postseason only and it's best of five and everybody's at one side or there's two sides, there's an eastern side and a western side? I don't know. There's a lot to try to sort out through all this, but to pretend that the money part isn't real is just foolhardy.
Baxter, I want to stay one question on this topic. Let's say the technology is there and it's accessible, and a lot of these questions that will come up down the road. How much do you think the NBA is keeping in their mind that there's also going to be I don't know if pressure is the right word, but people are going to be watching the NBA. I think you mentioned it a little bit earlier, and you mentioned at some point in your story that, okay, it's accessible, but why should NBA players be getting tested before, you know, somebody that obviously may need it? And it's like you mentioned, it could be the immune system, tip top shape some of these players are in. How much do you think that weighs into this whole thing? Because I think those questions have already come up when Gobert was tested and Donovan Mitchell and teams were tested. there's a question of, is it important to test them before you test somebody that, you know, it's more needed with somebody else? Do you think that's a question that comes up a lot in these conversations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the NBA is very sensitive to this. And, you know, yes, there's various people of means involved in the NBA community at the ownership level and elsewhere who are going to be able to get access to certain things. You know, and Adam Silver is pretty thoughtful in this. They don't have to look far, you know, to see what's happening elsewhere, to see what's happening in New York or in different communities across the country, and how overwhelmed hospitals are, or the shortage of ventilators and other equipment, the shortage of protective equipment for medical workers and people on the front lines. So, you know, they're very aware and sensitive to this, that just because we can doesn't mean we necessarily should. You know, they want to do their due diligence. They want to be thorough in researching what they can while they can. But, you know, I kept hearing the phrase, and even from people throughout the league, of like, you know, they would talk about one general manager referenced the curve and just said, you know, we cannot resume basketball while this thing is still on the uptick. And, you know, we have to be, you know, cognizant of our kind of place in all of this. And the NBA was the first to shut down. And the tenor of how the country was treating this virus changed basically after that night, you know, when Rudy Gobert tested positive and the NBA suspended its season. So the NBA is aware of their place in all of this. You know, a lot of businesses and other sports leagues and non-sports businesses shut down following the NBA's when the NBA took the lead there. And I think that the NBA, you know, they're cognizant of that, but they don't want to proceed in such a way at a time when other people can't get access to things and it's at their worst. They want to be thoughtful and appropriate about this.
As for final question, yesterday you had the article obviously talking about the NBA, the players, the testing that we talked about. And then today you got one, coronavirus has stopped basketball across America, and you had a chance to chat with Jamal Crawford. What was that conversation like? And maybe you can give a little bit of depth to the story.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk to Jamal because he lives in a state that was ground zero for the novel coronavirus in Washington State, where there was the first outbreak, the first diagnosis, the first confirmed death. I think there was like 35 deaths in a nursing home. But more than that, Jamal has so long been associated with kind of playground and pickup games and open runs. And he, you know, across America, including in his hometown of Seattle, the rims are coming down off playground courts, which feels almost unthinkable when you consider, you know, all of the things that have happened throughout, you know, really modern history. And those courts have still been there. They were always kind of a last refuge for people to go play basketball no matter what. And, but they're coming down in a lot of major cities. You know, there's some really, really striking photos out there. You know, if you do a quick search online, of these rims being taken down at some really legendary parks and, or the parks themselves being closed, these courts being closed. So I wanted to call Jamal because I think he really personifies the playground game as much as any NBA player in recent history. And it was very sad. You know, he talked about understanding why it's being done. You know, it's being done to try to keep people away and social distance and all of that for safety. But, you know, he called the playground the soul of the game. And, it, you know, being a birthplace where so many players, especially in a lot of major cities, kind of honed their skill and came up through the ranks. And so to see, you know, to see that happen, to see goals coming down is really a striking thing. There's always those phrases of, you know, ball is life and basketball never stops. But for the first time, I think that most of us, any of us can remember, it truly has stopped virtually, you know, in a public setting and down to the last, what was always the last refuge, and that was the playgrounds.
Baxter, great stuff, man. Both articles, fantastic. Both on ESPN right now. Thanks for taking some time, man. I appreciate you kind of getting in depth on both of these. And that is probably something that, you know, we've never seen hoops coming down. You know, I can't even imagine that, but I know there's a reason why they're doing it in some of these parks. But great stuff, Baxter. Thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show. All right.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Baxter Holmes right there, man. I honestly, when he was telling me, and I'm reading the story, I'm like, damn, I never even thought about that. Just parks out there, taking down basketball hoops. That's unheard of to me. We come back. I want to play a little bit of that interview with Adam Silver and with Ernie Johnson. Adrian Wojnarowski was on Get Up this morning, and we'll talk a little bit about another timetable that's been thrown out there. So we'll do all that coming up next day right here, Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Funch, Jess, I got to ask you guys here. Are you guys kind of in the same position as me on this? When Baxter was talking about – appreciate Baxter Holmes coming on. You guys hear Baxter talking about – by the way, Funch, I know you love you some Jamal Crawford, and I know you've always
love
said
Jamal
this,
Crawford.
Guy, this guy needs to be on a team. But how about that? Doesn't that kind of just – isn't that crazy about Parks taking down basketball? They're taking down the rims. Like, and I know why they're doing it, right? They're encouraging. They don't want people to be outside right now. They obviously don't want them to be in big groups. But doesn't that sound crazy? Doesn't that sound crazy to just to think about that's where we are right now? They're literally taking down hoops around, you know, the country. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they have to do this, it's it sucks, but it's also like, all right, like now it's trying to show tell everyone, hey, this is serious. It's not something that's going to, you know, fix overnight. Stop coming to the parks and playing basketball. Stay home.
But you know, there's something even more to that, Funch. Jess, did you play basketball growing up or no?
Oh yeah, I played at the park with my friends and in high school.
So the reason why I say it is, Funch, I know we've done this, you know, been doing Lakers talk for a long time. You know how many times I just sit there and I pretend like I have a ball and I'm shooting? Like, I cannot tell you how much just being able to go to the gym and shoot around. Or go into a park and just shoot around Funches. I mean, how much do you miss that?
I mean, I find myself stopping sometime and just trying to shoot a free throw, like the perfect, you know, with the perfect mechanics and everything, you know?
I do crawl.
How do you guys?
Hey, listen,
I do that all the time. I crumble up a piece of paper and I just sit there with the trash can across the way and I just pretend. I'm just like, all right. I even do the Sasha, the kiss on the lips.
The Sasha, the machine, man. Those two big free throws. You know how many times just stupid things where you're walking. I remember, you know, our obviously from our studio. If you walk from the studio to the restroom, right? There's a long hallway, and I'm working on my Eurostep. I'm working on my crossover. That's what like just everybody does. You know, some people that you don't have to play basketball often, but you know, you just love the game. But I say that because that's crazy to me. The one thing I probably miss most in all of this, and trust me, I know there's a long laundry list, but I'm talking about just from a sports perspective. Man, I just miss playing hoops, you know, going in some pickup games or going to the gym and finding people are out there. How about nobody's there and you just shoot around? When Baxter says that this is one of the things they're doing, it's like, damn, that's those little things you take for granted, especially from a basketball perspective.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely.
Of course. It's crazy. Like, I drive around my town sometimes and I see some basketball hoops or no basketball hoops, and I still see guys playing basketball right now, too.
Oh, you still see them playing?
I still see guys playing 2-on-2 or maybe 3-on-3, but just, you know, not the full court 5-on-5 stuff.
Are you guys fans of rain or no? I love rain. I'm a rain guy.
I love rain. I love this kind of weather.
Funch, are you a fan? Or by the way, and we kind of have a luxury, Jesse and I, because rain, there's nothing better than rain when you're at home and you're just chilling at home. I know you're at work, so it's a little bit different. But are you a fan of this weather?
I am, and like you said, I am a fan of it when I'm at home. But when I'm here, not really, because I didn't bring a raincoat or an umbrella today.
Oh dear, no umbrella, nothing.
So I'm gonna have to run to my car. You know how long
across.
You know how long it is to that W garage.
You're gonna take a jog.
Not even a jog, because you know how slippery that floor is gonna be. All you do is just slide across the quad. Just take one big whoom.
Funch, are you? Is there anything? Because we haven't been there now in over 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been to LA Live. What is happening in LA Live? Can you tell us what like when you take that walk to the garage? What is it now? Like,
well,
is everything closed off?
Everything's closed off. I'll tell you. I'll walk you a day in my shoes when I come to work. So I come to work, you know, around 11:30-ish, noon-ish maybe, and it's no one here. There's only security guards. There's barely anyone in the garage, parking garage. Mm-hmm. But get this, the first floor is still filled with cars.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, how is that possible?
You would think that no one's parking on the first floor, but I'm still parking on the second floor. And I walk in, there's a barricade all around LA Live, security guards at every point or whatever, and they're asking you if you work here or blah, 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 and you show them your ID. And you walk through the, you know, LA Live Plaza, whatever, it's not a soul there.
So death, taxes, and the top floor of LA Live, those are the three guarantees.
That sounds about right.
There's no parking. Exactly, exactly.
That there's no parking. Yeah, I was thinking about that. I'm just like, man, is anything open anymore? I mean, I feel like it's just a ghost town. By the way, you know what today would have been? Let's see. We're at Tuesday right now. So we'd have had about 1 week left in the regular season for the NBA, and we would have been a week and a half away from the postseason starting. Think about that for a second.
Wait, wouldn't this be the week that we would have done that three games in a row where that rescheduled Clipper game?
Yeah, it would have been the first night. So we'd have gone Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I forget the order, but I know it was the Warriors, the Bulls, and the Clippers. Right?
I think that's the order.
Mm-hmm.
But so if that not, it would have be been the one or the other. But still, that's just crazy to think that, you know. We were just talking about that crazy stretch of games, that three stretch of games. It's going to be
and
crazy
who
for
known?
The Lakers. And
like, who would have been in the eighth seed right now, right? Like, mm-hmm. Would the Lakers have caught Milwaukee? You know, and I could go on the other sports, but just from a basketball perspective, it's kind of becoming more surreal now because we're getting closer to when the postseason would have started, and you would have thought Lakers had as good of a chance as anybody to win an NBA championship. Okay, I didn't get into it. When we come back, let's do it. I still got some Woj that I want to play, latest from a basketball perspective. And then, like I mentioned, Adam Silver yesterday with Ernie Johnson. We'll play that as well. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN. All right. Attention, Southern California business owners. During the COVID-19 pandemic, businesses are being decimated in an unprecedented way. Many businesses have insurance to cover for this, but insurance companies are wrongfully denying their business interruption claims. I'm going to read that again. If you're a small business out there, a local business, and you know you're thrown into a predicament where you have no idea what to do, many businesses have insurance to cover for this, but insurance companies are wrongfully denying their business interruption claims. Brad Wallace, the attorneys at the Wallace firm are stepping up to fight for the businesses in our community right here in Southern California. They want to offer a free consultation if you're just don't have enough information of how this works. Obviously, none of us have ever been in this position before. Free consultation and review of your business insurance policy to see if you are eligible for compensation for operating expenses and or lost revenue. We'll try and help as best as we can. I'm going to give you the phone number. If you're a small business out there or you run a business in Southern California, get that free consultation. Maybe Brad Wallace and the Wallace firm can help you. 844-844-WINS. 844-844-WINS. So the number, obviously, as easy as it gets. Or if you want the website, wallacewins.com. All right, just a quick reminder here. Do not forget, Justin Wood, El Modena High School, will be coming up. He's a high school. We're doing this thing all week long. If you guys haven't got a chance to tune into the station, but we are definitely highlighting these different high school athletes. So he's a baseball player, plays shortstop. He's also a pitcher. So we'll make sure to bring him on here at 7:45. So I mentioned this, and I'll continue to do it. We try and get as many updates as we can on a NBA front. Adrian Wojnarowski. Wojnarowski was on Get Up this morning with Mike Breen. And one of the things that I think that always comes up is the testing part of things. And I feel like that's always going to be the difference between any of these leagues. By the way, the NFL, the NBA, it doesn't matter. Major League Baseball, it is all going to come down to that and how easy it is to get testing. And that's going to be secondary because the testing really needs to come to those who need it most, those the hospitals and those that are in dire need. And then the sports part of it comes up next. But here's Wojan a little bit earlier talking specifically about the testing.
Certainly are any number of contingencies that they're trying to put in place based on how many days they would actually have to work with for a season, regular season, playoffs. You know, but a great deal of it, Greeny, gets back to testing and having rapid response testing, you know, in a bubble. And we had Jeff Passan on earlier, you know, talking about that baseball plan of trying to return in Arizona. And, you know, the NBA is looking at a similar idea. They've talked about a few different sites, but the conversation largely keeps coming back to Las Vegas, where the NBA does spend a lot of time. They have their summer league there. And what the NBA would have to have, in my conversations with people, is essentially the ability that if a player tested positive in that quarantine bubble, that they wouldn't then have to completely shut down a playoff series or isolate or quarantine a team for 2 weeks because one of their teammates or the head coach or somebody in that immediate party tested positive. Could they just take that player out, treat him, and then be able to test the others and keep going? And without that environment, without that possibility, I think a return is really difficult because the last thing they want to do is start up the season, start up playoff series. All of a sudden, the team's up 2-1, somebody tests positive, and you've got to shut the thing down. They can't have that scenario because even in a bubble, in a quarantine, it is still possible someone is going to test positive.
All right, that's Woj right there. And listen, I think as we play out all the different scenarios, and I keep comparing baseball and basketball, I keep comparing NBA and MLB, they're doing that, you know, they're doing everything they can to try and figure out what could potentially work. But I don't want to say it's too early because you want to have all these scenarios in your mind of what if baseball did come back or if Major League Baseball did come back. They already have a plan. But I feel like at this point, it just still seems like it's too early, really, just because that's kind of the message you feel like Adam Silver has had, at least over the last couple of weeks. One other thing Woj talked about was trying to get a champion crowned by Labor Day. That would be the goal or the ideal situation for the NBA. Here's Woj.
I've been told Labor Day weekend that they would like to have a champion crowned by Labor Day weekend, which is obviously the first weekend in September. That takes you right to the edge of what would be the start of football season. Now, does that mean if they create a scenario where they think they could have a game 6 or game 7 of an NBA final on September 7th or 8th or 9th, that they wouldn't do it? No. But ideally, the date they've kind of circled is Labor Day weekend to have this finished. And of course, that's still almost likely, or I think almost certain, if you push it that far, that you are delaying the start of next season. There's no question that this impacts not only this season, but next season in the NBA. And that's part of what they're taking into consideration when they decide on dates now. What does it mean for next year? And so those are all part of the conversations that are still ongoing now.
All right, that's the balance. You know, I know I was on with Mason in Ireland, and both of them, and I get exactly what they're saying. And Mace kept pushing this, like, who cares about next year? Don't pay attention to next season. You have to just try and get this year. Try and play some kind of games. Who cares? All right, if you're supposed to play 162 games in baseball and you played 70, sounds good. If you're supposed to have a regular season of 82 games in the NBA and then a postseason that's 7-game sets and that doesn't happen, who cares? Just play it out. But I think when Woj says specifically about Labor Day, messing with or using that date as an example, I think there's something to that. And when I say there's something to that, they're obviously also concerned of how late they can start next year. So those are some of the scenarios being played out. Adam Silver on NBA Together with Ernie Johnson from TNT, that there will be no decision made this month. So obviously the NBA kicking the can down the road.
The fact is now sitting here today, I know less in a way than I did then.
Wow.
I think in some ways, just as I listen to the public health experts and the people that are advising us, the virus is potentially moving faster than maybe we had thought at that point, and that it therefore may peak earlier. What that means in terms of our ability to come back at some point in late spring or summer is still unknown to me. And essentially what I've told my folks over the last week is that we should just accept that at least for the month of April, we won't be in a position to make any decisions. I don't think that necessarily means on May 1st we will be, but at least I know, I think just to settle everyone down a little bit, it doesn't mean that internally, both the league and in discussions with our players and the teams, we aren't looking at many different scenarios for restarting the season. But I think it honestly is just too early given what's happening right now.
And that was the point that I was trying to make, is I feel like Major League Baseball doing what they did, Jeff Passan coming out, and MLB trying to find a way to start the season with a May time frame and working from one location just in Arizona. I think that was the point I was making. I love the idea. I mean, it'd be fantastic. But I keep looking back at what Adam Silver's saying. It just might be too early. But that doesn't mean not to lay out these different scenarios, but it just might be too early. Okay, as we've done and will continue to do all this week and next week, we're highlighting different high school athletes. Justin Wood from El Medina High School. He's coming up next. We'll get his story. This is a baseball player, senior, that plays shortstop and is a pitcher. Let's talk to him about his high school career and what's coming up next. We'll do that. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.